This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, February 7th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Sitting in studio, this is Stephanie Pina once again while Dr. Rozelle is out. But we are here on this fabulous Sunday. Lots going on this weekend and through the rest of the week. And one of those things that's going to happen are what we're going to talk about today. And, of course, that is an upcoming in-house lecture with my guest in studio, Dr. Matthew Adams. And we're going to talk about diabetes, getting the facts and taking back control of your health. Welcome back, Dr. Adams.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's a interesting topic to have on Super Bowl Sunday, knowing that this is like a carb fest waiting to happen later on tonight.
With Valentine's Day around the corner, too.
And Chinese New Year.
That's right. So now everybody's going, maybe I should turn this off, or are the guilt trips going to kick in?
Right. Well, maybe instead of using the January 1st New Year, you know, I'm going to start anew. We'll use Chinese New Year for tomorrow. So you have one more night, and then you can start everything over again. And this is the excellent topic to start with.
Even though we're not advocating you to go out
exactly
and splurge, but you can start your goal tomorrow.
But we know those Super Bowl commercials are going to be out there, and if you're at any of the parties and stuff, we know that's not exactly the best lifestyle health changes for the night. So.
And you know it, too.
Yes, don't
lie to yourself. You know it, too.
All right, so we're going to talk about diabetes and things you can do to help prevent it, things you can do while you've been diagnosed or worried about pre-diabetes, whether you have a family history of it, whether you've been told by your doctor that you need to change something in your lifestyle, like your diet, to deal with blood sugar effects and exercising. And that's going to be the topic for this Wednesday, February 10th at 7 p.m. The time changed a little bit to 7 p.m. instead of 7:30 at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And if you want to sign up to hear Dr. Adams speak on this topic, you're going to have to call and reserve your spot, because I can guarantee you it is going to be a full one once again. You can call the Rozelle Center for Healing at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And then you can also call us here live in studio, and we'll be more than happy to answer your question. Dr. Adams, diabetes. We know this is a continuous problem. We know that a lot of people can, you know, basically go undiagnosed for anywhere between 5 to 10 years before they see it on a blood test. And a lot of times people are being diagnosed when they're going in for, say, blood test on their annual exam. Why is it becoming such an issue, and why is it such a prevalent topic to talk about?
I think it's becoming such an issue because we're so, like you talk about the commercials, we're being so inundated with different types of things to eat and different types of plans, and we do a terrible job in general of how we eat. Whether you're an athlete or you're not, we're all eating horrible. And that's leading to all kinds of problems with blood sugar, where everybody's very sedentary. We're not moving around that much, so we're not burning off the fuel and the sugar that we eat. And so it continues to build up in our bloodstream, and then starts to cause lots and lots of problems over time. You know, you mentioned about family history. You know, a lot of that, the studies show that if you have parents that have had type 2, then you're definitely a lot more likely to have diabetes. But then again, is it a genetic thing, or is it a lifestyle thing because of how your family ate?
Yeah, we keep coming back to a lot of chronic diseases that have a lot of conditions that are attached to it, to epigenetics, that famous word that says, okay, the genes are present in us, but they're not turned on until we introduce the environment to it. and then really see how it kind of takes control over the rest of our lives. So,
and you can see, I mean, you can see a lot of that, just the different areas you're around. I think back when I go back to like Tennessee or Texas, where people aren't as health conscious as they are up in this area, and the just say that the body shape of people and the types of like foods that are available, the types of restaurants that are out there are much different than over here. And yeah, some of it may be, you know, because of family, but I think, you know, the culture, you know, my culture of comfort food kicks in, and that caused a big problem, versus up here where you have multiple different types of international cultures that eat differently and a lot of times eat a lot better than us. And you can see just in them how they look thinner, they look healthier, things like that. So, yeah, the epigenetics thing where you've got different markers in your genes that can turn on to cause problems. Yeah, you can, through your lifestyle, be able to change whether that's going to be turned on, not turned on, or even a lot of times turn off.
Yeah, and we're seeing some other, the same cultures that you were talking about start to develop issues with, especially type 2, you know, what we would call the adult onset, which has more effect of the actual, you know, dietary changes. We're seeing that in cultures that have never had diabetes issues before, because the Western diet is starting to make their presence more known in those areas, and it's starting to affect their culture and lifestyle. And, you know, the invasions of the Starbucks and the McDonald's and the Kentucky Fried Chickens.
I wasn't going to mention names, but you,
yeah. Hey, well, they say they serve, what, 65 million people? So, you know, they got to be outside of the
U.S.
Oh,
yeah, they're, yeah, definitely.
So definitely an issue there. So, okay, let's start a little bit from the basic, because we know there's two kind of basic types of diabetes, and that's kind of what you're going to be kind of covering here, but probably focusing much more on type 2. So type 1 diabetes, let's explain the difference between type 1 and type 2 real quick.
Now, type 1 is generally, you'll refer it to as juvenile diabetes. At least that's what they used to talk about it as, because it's whenever you basically don't make insulin anymore. And insulin is something that your body needs to take the sugars that you eat and get it into the cell so that it can use it. Otherwise, it just continues to float around in your bloodstream and cause problems. The second one is type 2, which that's what most people that have diabetes now have. And that's where you start to have insulin resistance, meaning that the insulin is not, and the receptor is not able to work properly to get the sugar in there. So you're making insulin, it just doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And then there's actually something that they've been talking about later as a 1.5. And that's basically your type 1, where you're not producing insulin, but as an older age. Now the type 1, I'll just talk about type 1 just real quick because it's kind of interesting. Type 1 is really an autoimmune problem. So autoimmune meaning that your body, your immune system is attacking your own cells. So type 1, your body's attacking your cells in your pancreas, not allowing you to make insulin. And most of the time, that happens at a young age, as a child. And there's different theories about being exposed to milk or cow's milk or dairy at early age, or contracting a virus at an early age. But you can also develop that later in life as an autoimmune problem, and they call that 1.5. I guess that's because it's older. But basically, the biggest focus that we have is type 2, because that's more of a lifestyle-related type of diabetes. You basically eat yourself into diabetes, in a sense.
So, yeah, when we think about it, you know, we eat the food gets broken down into the stomach, and, you know, whether it's starches or some dairies and carbohydrates get broken down into glucose, which we all need to function. We can't just get rid of glucose. We always need it. And when it starts to break down, the liver in itself can also make glucose as well, too. You know, when we're starving, that's where we still have to get the energy to just survive, basically. And so when we're breaking that down, if we release insulin from the pancreas, that's supposed to, like you said, pull it into the cells. It's kind of like the key that opens the door so the glucose can get into the cells, yes, and do its job. And when that key, or the keyhole, I should say, is blocked and we can't get in there, then we have that insulin sensitivity and we have a backup of glucose in the blood. Now it's sitting around and causing inflammation and damage. And that's where you're starting to see issues that over time and prolonged time, especially that 10-year fact where now you're starting to see the rest of the body have effects of that high glucose in the blood sugar.
Yeah, the blood sugar floating around in the bloodstream caused a lot of damage to the arteries. Some of it because the sugar, in a sense, caramelizes. If you've ever cooked with sugar on a pan and it starts to bubble up, that's a similar effect of what's happening to your capillaries and the arteries, causing damage. And that's where eventually you get the problems with people's feet and toes, where they can't feel their feet or toes, or you get problems with the eyes. You also lead to problems with heart issues or thyroid issues or adrenal issues. When your blood sugar starts going off, it affects the entire body. And I think the problem nowadays is because diabetes is so prevalent, sometimes we look at it like it's not that big a deal. Like, okay, I've got diabetes, I'll take the medication. Or I know a lot of other people I know have diabetes now, but it's a serious problem. And I think that we take it for granted as something that's not that big a deal. When, and then over time, we continued our lifestyle, or maybe we change it just a little bit, and all of a sudden we're on dialysis and we have to, you know, have somebody else filter our blood and clean it up because our body can't do it anymore because it's broken down over the years from diabetes.
Studies have actually shown that there's 2 to 4%, 2 to 4 times more likely with a diabetic patients to have heart disease, to have strokes as well too, because not only is it affecting the big blood vessels that you were bringing up, but it's those microvessels as well too, and they can't deal with that caramelization as well. You know, we don't, they're not large, so especially to the eyes, to the kidneys, where they're filtering out everything else, all the toxins of the body and stuff too. So, it's also said that when patients have, uncontrolled diabetes, that their risk for heart attacks increases to the point where it's the same as if someone had already had a heart attack previously. So something definitely to think about. And when we talk about how to work with diabetes, especially in the office, it's not just about diet and lifestyle control and medications. It's about the rest of the system and how the systems work together. So much more than just a digestive issue, it's affecting all these other systems as well.
Yeah, and especially at the office, I mean, we are treating the whole body. We're not actually treating somebody as diabetes because that's not what we do. We treat the whole body to help it function properly and help the nervous system work and help the lymphatic system work, things like that. And so we're helping the body work with someone who's got diabetes to help bring the blood sugar down and help keep balance in there. And like you said, it takes multiple different factors. You can change someone's diet drastically. And for the most part, most people will, can bounce back just from that. But if there are other systems like, inflammation in the body causing their triglycerides to be high, or like thyroid issues or some nervous system problems from the spine or from the nerves, it's going to be tough for their body to start and recuperate or start working properly just from the diet alone.
We're going to continue to get into the facts and everything, but if you have any questions and you want to talk to myself or Dr. Adams, feel free to give us a call live in studio. That number is 1-888-630-9625, 1-888-630-9625. And Dr. Adams is going to be this Wednesday night's lecture at February the 10th at 7 p.m. Also, when we get back, we're going to talk about some other great things that are going on at the Rozelle Center for Healing that affects next week, too. So when you're coming for the lecture, there's some other great ways to help learn about what you can do to help out with whether it's diabetes or other issues as well, too, and get an evaluation while you're helping others. We'll be back in just a moment.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio, and I am here with Dr. Matthew Adams, and we are talking about diabetes and that lecture that's coming up on Wednesday night. it's going to be a busy one. I have a feeling people are still in the beginning of the year. They want to make those health changes. So definitely you want to call to reserve your spot. And that number again is 703-698-7117. Also, what you can think about this week is we have, with Valentine's Day coming up, the Have a Heart campaign, which we do every single year. And what we do is this is a chance for you to join us by collecting non-perishable food items for your local food bank. We actually help out food for others. And the way you can kind of benefit from this while others are benefiting from is if you want to either donate $50 of food or make a monetary donations, you can bring it into the office this upcoming week. That's February 8th through February 13th. And you can also get a new patient chiropractic or acupuncture evaluation for free. And that's usually a $225 value. So this is our way to help others and also help replenish those food banks, because we think about the food during Thanksgiving and around Christmas time, but those food banks are going to be empty now. So this is a perfect time for you to bring that in. So it's about $50 worth of donations, and that will get you in to see one of us so we can sit down one-on-one and talk about it. Caring for Others is the one that's sponsoring this, and this is a nonprofit 501c. So things you can bring in is anything from olive oil, peanut butter, almond butter, different types of broths, canned beans and vegetables, spaghetti sauces, granola bars, you name it. You can even help introduce gluten-free products in there as well, too. So $50 donation brings that in, but you got to call the office, and you can either sign up for Dr. Adams' lecture, and you can do this again. That's next week, February 8th through the 13th. If you've got any questions, call the office, or you can check our website at rosellecare.com, rosellecare.com. Back to the diabetes topic. Now, if we take this from a very realistic patient perspective, Dr. Adams, if I am a patient, I went into the doctor, I see my doctor once a year, and maybe it's been twice or two times or three times, and it's been a couple of years since I've even been in there. I do blood work and I get it done, and of course I don't really get a good explanation, but they say my blood glucose is high, and I can't remember if I ate before I had my blood drawn or if I didn't. All I remember is I couldn't drink. I shouldn't have eaten, but I might have. I don't know. And they look at things on there like blood glucose levels and fasting levels. And nowadays we talk about hemoglobin A1C. Why don't we break that down, what those mean actually on the lab report and why those are actually important for not only diagnosing diabetes, but also helping control it?
Yeah, a lot of times they'll do the blood glucose levels, and they usually want you to fast before 8 to 12 hours so they can try to get all that out of your bloodstream and see what you are fasting. And a lot of times when you fast, I would say most people's are pretty good in range. Then you do something called a hemoglobin A1C. And basically what that tells you is the amount of blood sugar in your bloodstream over a 3-month average. And that one seems to be a little bit more conclusive of how well your blood sugar is handling. So I'll have patients go in and their fasting blood sugar levels are in a nice normal range, but then they'll have a hemoglobin A1C that's high. So then you have to ask yourself, well, why is your blood sugar high most of the time where fasting is not, where you would have missed it? So now you know, well, they're pre-diabetes or they're diabetic, but didn't look like it from the fasting. So that's very important to get that one. And that's one of the main ones they use to diagnose with diabetes. Another one that I have a lot of patients do is something called a C-peptide test. And what that is whenever your body makes insulin from your pancreas, it also makes something called C-peptide at the same time. And so your measure of that gives a good measure of how much insulin you're producing. And what I'll do is I go and I take that and I put it into something called a HOMA calculator. And you can look it up online, get the calculator on your own computer. It's HOMA calculator. And basically what you put in there is you put some of these different lab tests like your glucose levels, your C-peptide levels, and a hemoglobin A1C level, and put those in a calculator. And it comes out with a number and it tells you your percent or how insulin resistant you are. And I think that's really important because you can find out or catch these things before they become major problems. You don't want to wait until you're having to, you can't go to sleep at night because you're going to the bathroom all the time, or until your feet start getting tingly, or your vision starts to go. You want to catch these things early because it's a lot easier to reverse before those other damages and other things start happening. So hope that helps people that are going out and getting their blood work at the beginning of the year right now.
So looking at not just one little section in time, but also what's happening over the last 3 months is a great way to help track, monitor, and go forward. So we're going to be back after a couple quick breaks, and hopefully you'll still be with us on the Dr. Tom Rozelle Live Show.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio. This is Stephanie Pina, licensed acupuncturist and naturopath. And I am here with Dr. Matthew Adams, applied kinesiology chiropractic. We both work with Dr. Rozelle. So as he's on his final leg of his educational tour in the Southwest area, we were sitting in for him and we were discussing diabetes on this Super Bowl Sunday, Puppy Bowl Sunday, day before New Year's Eve, or Chinese New Year's Eve. It's Year of the Monkey coming up. So many good things, and also the start of the week of the Have the Heart campaign. So again, that's where you can bring in a $50 donation or $50 of food and get to see one of us for free. A free new patient evaluation exam, chiropractic or acupuncture, and that's this week. So you have to make sure you call the office. And so when you're calling to set up for Dr. Adams' lecture, you can sign up for this too and get more information. That number to sign up for this stuff is 703-698-7117, and we would love to take any calls that you may have also today here live in studio.
I think it's funny how you always bring up the Puppy Bowl.
It's all about the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah, you introduced that to me last year. I never heard of it. I've always been a big sports fan, but I didn't know anything about puppies.
I think this is Puppy Bowl 10, and then they have the kitten halftime show. So you got to have some variety to balance out the Super Bowl commercials with, you know, and the actions and stuff, especially until we have to wait till next year when the Redskins are going to be there. So,
oh, are you predicting?
Yes, we're making that prediction, right?
Wow. Wow. Okay.
So, yes, that one doesn't have any free evaluations attached to that one.
No.
If, just in case. But
we're gonna get a whole new group of callers in here in just a second.
We might. That's okay. We'll talk to them about diabetes as well too. we'll link it. That's all good. So let's talk a little bit more about diabetes beyond now the lab reports and beyond someone saying, oh, you just need to change your diet and lifestyle and exercise more. We need to talk about how it's affecting the body. And we talked a little bit in the beginning about how it affects the small blood vessels of the body and the large blood vessels and all the beginning of some of the healthcare changes like heart disease and stroke and how it can affect the kidneys. But there's a lot of other things that having imbalance in blood sugar and control can actually do. So Dr. Adams, why don't you start to kind of lead us through some of these other issues and how it affects, how high blood glucose can really affect the body.
Yeah, let's just talk about how we feel. Whenever you don't have control of your blood sugar and it's going up and down, it really plays a big part in your energy through the day. It plays a part in how you think. So if you find yourself craving sweets after a meal, a lot of times that's because you have some insulin resistance. It's not getting into the cell once your body's craving sugar, and it's not producing something called leptin, which is that hormone that makes you feel full that a lot of people want to have. So they don't keep eating. If you're feeling those feelings, then a lot of times it's because you have some insulin resistance, which is a precursor to getting diabetes. Also, if you find yourself between meals, I always think of those Snickers commercials where, you know, they're sitting in the car or something and someone's getting all cranky and mad and calling them a diva, and then they hand them a Snickers and they feel better. They bring all those different actors in. Those are funny. But that's, if you are that person, which a lot of people are, and you know you who you are,
everyone else knows who you are.
Yeah,
too.
Everybody knows who you are. Then you may have a problem there too. Yeah, you don't maybe not be diabetic, but you don't want to be diabetic. You want to catch it now. If I mentioned earlier about sleeping, so cortisol, our stress hormone, works with our natural circadian rhythm and should be high in the morning to help us wake up, and then slowly declines throughout the day, and then it goes down at night when it gets dark. And then as the night goes on, later in the morning, it starts to come back up. Well, cortisol naturally raises our blood sugar. So if we're having blood sugar control issues and we go to bed at night and our blood sugar starts to drop because we can't control it very well, then automatically our cortisol will start to raise in the middle of the night, and a lot of times it wakes us up. And maybe we're not waking up to go pee all the time so that we don't think it's like diabetes, but we're waking up out of nowhere. We're like, why am I waking up? It's because your blood sugar is not under control. We actually do a test in the office. It's a saliva test where you put your spit in about four different little tubes, and we send it in, and it gives us a measurement from those four different times what your cortisol is doing, a few other hormones, and even a measure of your insulin to see how well you're producing insulin after we challenge it with something really sweet during the test. So that's a good way. Another good test that we do, most of your medical doctors won't do that adrenal saliva index test, that unless they do functional medicine, but that's a test that we use a lot here in the office. Let's see, other things that it causes. So, and feel free to jump in here if you have.
Well, I think you bring up a good point with the commercial, right? So they give him the food, so their blood sugar goes up, but we know that he's basically getting a bar of sugar, or that person is getting a bar of sugar to raise their insulin, so they feel much better all of a sudden. But what's going to happen is that sugar is going to be processed very quickly and crash again. So it leads into this roller coaster effect of wanting and craving sugar, feeling better once you get it, and then going, why am I hungry again 2 hours later? You know, foods that are really high in carbohydrates will do that as well too. Like, you know, I think of a lot of times, like either Chinese food or even sushi, like you get the rice and everything in there, and then all of a sudden you feel really, really full, and then 2 hours later you're going, I'm hungry again. So what's funny is that rise and low of that roller coaster that has to do with your blood sugar also gives you signs of hypoglycemia, which sometimes can be just as important to deal with as high blood sugar. So low blood sugar and high blood sugar can look very similar and cause just as much of an issue. And some people, to the point where if it gets too low, it can cause issues as well.
Yeah, because then they just can't get around and can't move. It's hard to function when your blood sugar is low in order to actually make something to eat. And then you got people who want to eat better. And this is where sometimes you need some support from a nutritionist. Sue Rozelle does a great job here at the office with a lot of my patients to help keep them balanced. But, you know, you'll say, well, I'm not eating a bunch of junk. I'm not eating Snicker bars or candy bars. But you look at what they're eating. They are eating a lot of rice, a lot of pasta. They're eating breads on a regular basis. And all of those basically break down like sugar. And then they're eating, you know, 3 to 4 servings of fruit a day, which causes a major problem when really you should only eat 1 to 2, depending on your how your body is. And some people with insulin resistance should only be eating berries maybe with that one serving. So you have to look at, even if you think you're eating really well, you may need to work with somebody in order to get a professional opinion on, okay, writing down everything you eat, so that they can see what it is and maybe find some of those pitfalls that you have.
I think it's interesting you bring up the time, you know, when we're waking at night and, you know, we don't know why we're waking, or we get restless thoughts and now we can't go back to sleep, and it may not be a urinary issue. And, you know, we relate that sometimes to cortisol and blood sugar rise, but timing is always interesting, because if it's 1 to 3 a.m. in Chinese medicine, that's the liver time, and that's when it's supposed to be processing it. And like I said, the liver can produce its own glucose, but it's not there to do that. It's there to detox during that time. But it does also bring up an issue that I think happens a lot, especially in the modern day work environment, is the fact that it may also not be the great food that you're bringing in and trying to make those changes, but how frequently you're eating those foods. So if you're crashing and then going hours beyond when you should have had a regular meal or a snack, that's going to create an issue as well too, because your body's demanding, you know, you to think and process and do stuff when there's no sugar there to basically help it do that. And then all of a sudden you give this big bolus of sugar by eating as much as you possibly can within your 15-minute lunch meal. We have plenty of professions, even a little bit of our own, that's like that. Like, you've got a very short period of time to get food in. And so you do what you can, and then all of a sudden you're crashing again. Or this is the person that they eat their meal and then they're starting to fall asleep right after, within a half an hour.
It's because they don't eat breakfast. Here, I don't know how many people I talk to. They don't eat breakfast. They have like a cup of coffee on the way in. No breakfast. Then they get to work. They forget to eat. They're not drinking water. That's a whole nother issue. Then they have, yeah, your lunch. What do? They sit at their desk and try to like throw lunch down. Well, what are they going to have for lunch? Well, you know, what's around the corner to go buy, or they have snacks with them. What's their snacks? Well, I have banana and apples. No protein, just sugar. And then they get home late at night and, you know, who knows what. Or they didn't even eat. Maybe they ate breakfast, they skip lunch, and they just eat dinner. So you have to eat on a regular basis. Otherwise, you go so long in between eating, your blood sugar slowly starts to decline and decline and decline and decline. And then you eat a whole bunch again. Your insulin shoots way up, and so your body gets used to, like you said, this big roller coaster. So people with insulin resistance, you can't eat like a regular breakfast, lunch, dinner. Like, we have to fix things. You have to eat almost every hour to every 2 hours. And that sounds crazy. They're like, I can't do that because I'm going to gain weight. Well, you're probably going to gain more weight if you're just eating once or twice because your body feels like it's starving. And so it's going to try to store things and other issues. So that's a good point you bring up.
I always think about too, when we talk about stressors and related to glucose as well, if someone is fasting because they're skipping meals, their body's going, I don't know when that next meal's going to come. So instead of using it, it's going to go into storage mode. And so it's going to go, where do I store this? Well, it's going to store it in the fat cells. And then it goes, well, you skipped that meal, so let me use this up. And then, or else it goes, let me use up the glucose that's in the muscles. So now you can get muscle wasting as well, too. So a lot of the times, you know, your body's trying to help you out, but we're not giving it what it needs.
We're sabotaging it.
Exactly. So.
And then what happens when it gets in the fat cells, the studies show that makes you produce more estrogen in men. And then women with a high blood sugar, they tend to, over time, start producing more testosterone, leading to, you know, hair on the face and, you know, polycystic ovarian cysts and things like that. So it causes a bunch of different hormone issues, too, that we don't always think of hormone problems from blood sugar issues as well.
Correct. One of the things we also want to think about too is we talked a little bit about diabetic neuropathy, and so we know the nerves are involved because the blood sugar is too high and the system is unregulated. How does the nervous system play into blood sugar control? Because we know that there's going to be a feedback system there, but when we're thinking about the nerves getting us to move and opening up joints and stuff, from a chiropractic standpoint, where are we looking at the nervous system and all this?
Well, the vagus nerve is one of the most important ones that's going to influence the pancreas. Vagus nerve is a nerve that influences your adrenal glands, influences your heart rate. Basically, it's the nerve that works with your stress system. And that nerve is a cranial nerve, which means it comes directly from basically the head. It's not really coming from areas of the spine itself. So there's different ways that we look at that, from the bones around your head to find out if you had prior car injuries or car accidents that could have caused it. And then also we look at the nervous system, especially around the upper cervical area, because those nerves are going to play a part not only just around your spinal cord and your brainstem and how it's working, but if you have pain or irritation there, that's going to cause stress on your stress system, which is going to activate areas of the vagus nerve, which again is going to affect the pancreas and the adrenals on how all this stuff works. I know that sounds a little bit complicated.
Well, I always think of the vagus nerve as what they call the wandering nerve, because
yes,
it just goes almost everywhere throughout the body. And a lot of people hear how it deals with regulating everything from, you know, somewhat temperature control, but also blood sugar and the way we eat and feel, like the digestive process itself. And then it also has to deal with, you know, how we empty and if we're feeling hungry. So if our blood pressure, if our blood glucose goes up and down, that vagus nerve is always firing. And if it's impinged and it can't fire properly to give the correct signals, we're going to get a miscommunication going on. And I think that's also one of the things we want to, you know, not only evaluate, but also kind of see how is that playing into the system.
And it communicates with your digestive tract too. So if you have nerves that are going to your digestive tract, whether in your mid or low back. So we call subluxation, causing irritation to the nerve because the spine's misaligned. That's going to cause decreased effectiveness of the digestive tract, which is going to cause decreased signaling to the pancreas, again, leading to complications in your ability to do blood sugar or other things that the pancreas does in normal digestion and fat digestion as well.
So this Wednesday night is Dr. Adam's lecture on diabetes, getting all the facts, the figures, what we can do about it, and that's going to be at 7 p.m. Like I said, that's a new time for us, 7 p.m. instead of 7:30 at the Rozelle Center for Healing off of 495 and 50. Easy to find us, but you need to definitely call ahead and sign up for the seat because I think this one's going to get filled up very, very quickly.
The last two that have been done at the office have filled up.
We actually redid them. We offered them again because we had so many people in there. So this is going to be a big one, I think. So you want to call in early. And again, that number is 703-698-7117. And when you're calling them, ask about the Have a Heart campaign, which gets you in this week from February 8th to February 13th for a donation of $50 for food or a monetary donation to see one of the people that you always hear with Dr. Rozelle on the library, on the library, in the radio show. Where are we? And, you know, we also offer free continuing education outside of the office, too. So if you are interested in learning about how we can have one of the doctors come to you and do a free lunch and learn, and we can sit down and cover a number of powerful health issues, you can also give us a call or email us at RozelleEducation@gmail.com. That's RozelleEducation@gmail.com, and one of us can come to you and talk to you about, in your group, about a health issue as well, too.
Or at the library.
Or at the library, or we'll bring it up on the radio show. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we're talking about diabetes with Dr. Matthew Adams.
105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio. This is Dr. Matthew Adams and Stephanie Pina. And Bob, thank you for holding. We're going to take your question.
Okay. first of all, you need to correct your latest commercial. They're advertising that the Wednesday night seminar begins at 7:30, and you just said it begins at 7. So to take care of that, then my question is a popular, I'm a chocoholic, and what nutritional deficiency causes craving for chocolate?
Good question, because I'm sure there are many, many people out there that are chocoholic cravings, especially leading into Valentine's Day, right? Because it's everywhere.
Right.
Do you want to cover this one?
Yeah. So, well, number one, thanks for clearing up the time. So hope everybody catches that. Bob caught it. So hopefully all of you did too. 7 o'clock on Wednesday, not 7:30. The chocolate thing. Actually, one of the things that chocolate has a lot of is magnesium. And so sometimes if we are deficient in magnesium, we can crave chocolate a lot.
Wonderful.
Another thing, not saying that if you eat a lot of chocolate, you're going to get a lot of magnesium. So you're really not going to get a lot of magnesium out of chocolate, but sometimes a craving of chocolate can be a magnesium deficiency, a sign. The other thing you have to think about if you're craving, anytime you crave a food a lot, a lot of times it's because we have a sensitivity to that food, which is not a good thing. Because when you have a sensitivity to that food, it causes an adrenal response. And whenever your adrenals kick in, it kind of gives you a little pick-me-up. And we don't want that, though. The pick-me-up feels good, but it's because our body's responding to something that is bad. And then we continue to keep craving that thing. So if you're ever craving something on a regular basis, it's usually not a good sign or a good thing. Hopefully that answers your question.
Okay. So what's the solution?
What is the solution? That is a very good question.
When I find myself craving chocolate, what should I do instead?
Well, one of the things is you can actually look at the magnesium levels, you know, either through a blood test, or what you can also do is find foods that have higher magnesium. So you don't necessarily have to use chocolate as your, we'll say, your magnesium go-to source. Hydration also can help that as well, too, because sometimes the body's just craving it and it hasn't broken it down in the digestive tract. With women who tend to crave chocolate right before their menstrual cycle, a lot of times that can have to do with the hormonal effects as well, that imbalance that's happening right before their period starts. Or it can be due to the fact that their uterus is starting to contract more, so they're using up their own magnesium sources. So they're looking for that source. And, of course, chocolate also tends to increase opioids, so we feel good when we have it anyway. So I guess if you're going to do it, just get the highest percentage of cocoa possible, which makes it much more bitter than sweet. But, you know, we're not advocating chocolate here on the show.
Yeah, or a lot of times with anything that you're sensitive have problems to, you just have to stay off of it for a little while and force yourself. I mean, it's not an easy process. You just have to stay away from it, and then later you can reintroduce it into your body and see how you feel when you eat it. It's not an easy process. It's just like getting off of caffeine or smoking or sugar or something like that. So there's not always an easy way to get off of a, what some could say a chocolate addiction.
Well, what this does lead into a good segue is to, why don't you do a brief overview of what you're going to be talking about on Wednesday night? Obviously, Bob was paying attention. He caught it. That was a good test. We put that in there for you.
Yeah, I didn't even catch it, so I failed.
Talk real just briefly. What's going to go on?
We're talking diabetes, all kinds of ins and outs, what to do, what to look for, and how to get feeling better, and how to get your body to feeling better. Your body will thank you.
We're going to be back next week. Dr. Rizal should be in the chair to continue answering your questions here on the Dr. Tom Rizal Live Show. Thanks for joining us.